Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show, everybody, on a Friday morning, coming to you from the bunker before a live studio audience. Lots of folks in here this morning. On a Friday, August the 9th. It is episode number 49 of the program today. John Frenzy still with me, Hall of Fame Rough Rider broadcaster, CFL announcer. Addison Richards has adjourned. If you missed any of hour one, you're going to want to go back, slide back that wheel at the top of the page, or go back and listen to the podcast hour one if you are listening to our podcasts. Addison Richards, the second round pick of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Blue Bomber alumni, was with us breaking down Thursday in the CFL, Thursday Night Football, the Calgary Stampeders falling in Winnipeg 26-24. The Stampeders 6-2 atop the CFL stand. Quiet on the set, please.
Too many people here.
Yeah, well, we're doing a live show over here.
Get some of these guys, some of you guys leave, please.
I didn't say that.
No.
But anyways, Janarian Grant, the story of last night. Two punt return touchdowns for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in the victory on Thursday Night Football. First time in Bomber history that two return touchdowns happen on punts. That happened last night for the Blue Bombers. Tonight, Friday Night Football doubleheader, Saskatchewan at Montreal, followed by the Edmonton Eskimos home to the Ottawa Red Blacks. I'm just running through the topics here that we went through in the warm-up, and then we'll dive back into the CFL discussion. And our Hour 2 live guest has joined us here in the bunkers as well. We'll be bringing in Kirk Myers before long. WNBL playoffs opened last night. The Regina Red Sox downing the Moose Jaw Miller Express 10-2 at Curry Field. Game 1 of a best of 3. Game 2 goes tonight in Moose Jaw at Ross Wells Park. So get out and pack the park. Also, it's game day in Saskatchewan tonight. The Saskatchewan Rattlers are home to the Edmonton Stingers, 7 p.m. at Sasktel Center. The Rattlers have won four in a row on their way to hosting the CEBL Championship Weekend Memorial Cup style tournament now in just 2 weekends' time. Today's daily poll for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center is, what was the biggest story of the week in sports? Was it the retirement of Weston Dressler, which we covered fairly extensively yesterday and we'll get into a little bit more today? The Bomber punt return touchdowns last night on Thursday Night Football. Bull Bichette's Major League Baseball debut. Talked a little bit about it at the Blue Jays last hour. Bull Bichette, 9 consecutive games he's doubled in, and they just happened to be his first 9 games in Major League Baseball. It's an MLB record, and now he's chasing records set by Ted Williams back in 1939. It's unbelievable. And the Kenny Stafford trade for the Rough Riders, Stafford coming from the Eskimos, and Christian Jones going to the Eskimos. Winning the poll right now, the retirement of Weston Dressler at 49.5%. Also, Justin Dunk was with us in hour one from 3downnation.com, and he dropped a bomb on us. Lynch, that's where we'll pick it up here, is that Cody Fajardo, not just drawing interest from the Rough Riders in terms of a contract extension, but now the XFL has stuck their nose in things, and they want to sign Cody Fajardo potentially.
Oh. Would he be a catch for them, eh? For Mr. McMahon and his boys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And he's going to raise a lot of hell, by the way.
We wondered who the agent was for Cody Fajardo. We settled on Jesus. We think Jesus Christ is the agent for Cody Fajardo. Sprinkle of Jesus. It's working for him.
It is. The guy's a hero. I mean, he's been brilliant. He's been fantastic. I haven't seen this kind of excitement since 1951 when Glenn Dobbs came here.
Come on.
That's the honest way I feel about it. It's really, everybody's going nuts about this quarterback because he's fantastic. He can run. He can pass. He wins. And he wins. He makes that big run last week in the last minute to win that game against Hamilton. Fantastic.
Well, every
guy will have a lot of pressure on him. I can't believe what he's done in these five games, but he has done it. Are we overreacting? Yeah, probably. But nice to overreact, isn't it?
Every week will be a job interview for Cody Fajardo, but every week is a job interview for the 45 players on the roster. So that's not new, but we'll all be glued to the television tonight to see what happens in Montreal with Cody Fajardo and the Saskatchewan Roughriders against the Alouettes. I'll be heading to this family reunion in Calgary. This is the first time in over 20 years I think I'm going to miss a Rider game, Lynch. Can you believe it?
No, I can't.
I don't think you've missed one in...
No, I haven't.
Decades.
No. But only one. I had to go to a wedding.
Setting...
A funeral. I go to a funeral in the Yellowgrass.
Ooh. Yeah, and what did it feel like to miss that game?
I couldn't believe it that I missed it. But it was a real big funeral. My former father-in-law.
Yeah, I got it. But I got it set to PVR. But hey... Family first,
yep.
And we'll be going to Calgary for this family reunion this weekend that I'm looking forward to.
Some guy will be sitting over the corner. You'll be introduced to a lot of people you don't know. Some guy will be sitting over the corner with a yellow shirt, black shorts on. He'll be there all the time after 2 hours. Nobody's talked to him. You're going to go over and talk to him just to see who he is. And you go and introduce yourself. And he says, I'm not anything with Peterson. I just got off the plane, and I just like walking over here. I just walked by here. I thought I'd come get something to eat.
Lynch, can we tell the story about the funeral where your ex-wife came up to you? Can we tell that story?
Yeah,
I do. She had the veil,
yeah.
And you introduced yourself to her. You said, "Hi, I'm John Lynch." She said, "I know, I'm your ex-wife."
That's right. John Lynch's mother died. We had the funeral at the big Catholic church over there. And what's it that way?
There are several.
Christ the King. And it was a big funeral, and I was at the top row. And after the funeral, people left. It was dark in that church, a beautiful church, Christ the King. John Lipp's mother dying. It was funeral's over, and people start dispersing. And I turn to my left, and here comes John and Deanna Kaufman. I know them for years. And in between them is a skinny blonde. And I introduce myself, I say hello to John and Deanna. Good to see you again. How are things going in Nanaimo, where you're living now? And they said, "Oh, great, great." And to the girl in the middle, I said, "Hi, my name is John Lynch." And she said, "Look, you silly bugger, I'm your first wife." And she had got thinner, dyed her hair.
It always happens after divorce.
Dyed her hair and got... Thicker,
they join a gym.
Thicker glasses.
Yeah.
What?
Nothing. It just one more. After the game, a Rider game at Taylor Field, do you remember this? You were talking to a guy in the green and white lounge for 30 minutes after the game. You shook hands, he walked away, and you said, "Who was that guy?" I said, "It was Brad Wall."
Yeah, that's right. I can't tell my Bob Poley one, can I? No, I can't.
No, not the Poley one. Not the Bob Poley one. Other than one time I was doing a dinner in, where was I? I think it was Kipling with Bob Poley. And they said, "On the menu tonight, it's lobster tail and beer." And Poley said, "My three favorite things." To football and the Facebook string. Dan Heimbecker writes in and says, "What do you think the XFL offers Cody Fajardo, and do you think he goes?"
Mark Trestman. No, the guy who runs the XFL.
Oliver Luck.
No, yeah, and they're going to offer him big money.
What's big money?
I think they will. There's some thinking they'll just offer him. They want to offer more than $200,000 on the thing. Where else can he go? And he plays 10 games and no taxes, man. That's what you get down there. It's going to be a season starting in May. 10 games, $75,000 for most of the players. And, of course, there's virtually no tax in the United States, which is a disgusting situation there. And he'll get more than that. The way he's going, he's going to be a star here in the league and be a candidate for sure this year for the outstanding player. And if it keeps on going the way it is, he'll get a big offer from NFL and from the other league, I'm sure of that. Certainly in the $500,000 range. The Riders have got to be prepared to pay for it because you got to keep your stars. And the feeling that, oh, the fans will come anyway. If we lose and start to rebuild because we couldn't afford the stars, the fans will not come. as you're going to find out in Ottawa this year. You agree?
Yeah. With the business of keeping their stars, I look at the NFL. That season's upon us. Great preseason games last night. 11, I think, in all. Mm-hmm. And if you see the cover of the latest Sports Illustrated, which I'll be reading on the plane to Calgary today, they're calling it the year of the switch in the NFL. Antonio Brown's gone to the Oakland Raiders from the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell's gone from the Steelers to the New York Jets. All these players that have switched teams. OBJ, the biggest star in the NFL, and for certain New York sports, is now with the Cleveland Browns. Lynch, it happens. Unfortunately, it's very hard to hold on to your stars in pro sports these days.
Yes, it is.
So if Cody Fajardo doesn't stay with the Riders, you're almost going to have to say spit happens.
Well,
And if you're Cody Fajardo, you're not signing an extension, I don't think. There's no way. And let's just remember, we are only 7 games into a CFL season, so a lot of things can happen. But I don't think, if we're betting here today, that they will announce the signing of a contract extension for Cody Fajardo prior to Labor Day or even Halloween. I don't.
And it'll be talked about every day till it happens.
Yes, it will.
Be another Ezekiel Elliott situation like they got in Dallas right now, eh? And finally Dallas can say, Stephen Rogers, Jerry's son, said yesterday, we don't have a situation. If you come down and meet us, we don't have a situation where all day we're talking with Ezekiel Elliott, negotiating with him. That's not the case at all. We're not talking to him at all. We talked to him last week. We gave him our best offer, and that's it. And if he doesn't want to sign it, we'll get him on. We'll keep on going. The Dallas Cowboys will always be a factor, and they'll always be ready for games. Nobody's going to bring us down except this guy, and I'm pretty cynical. This guy is a great running back. He really is. He's a superstar, 1,000-yard rusher every year. He deserves top money. There's no question in my mind.
I agree.
He's better than Todd Gurley, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, they're both very good.
Well, they're both very good, but I would take Elliott like that.
Well, by the way, Todd Gurley is the highest paid running back in the NFL right now.
Right.
And Ezekiel wants to be paid higher than
and
him.
And he deserves to be.
Yeah, well, I agree.
There's no reason why you shouldn't get it.
It's the 1995 Dallas Cowboys situation. I've said it all week long, replaying itself with Emmitt Smith, who eventually, despite the holdout into the season, got his money.
Yeah.
People love the interactive nature of the program, of course, as do we. We ask you to chime in on the Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777, 306-840-8777, or on the Facebook feed, just type on into your browser like Nelson has done. And in this last segment here, or this last couple minutes of the opening segment of Hour 2, Nelson says, I know it's a football show, but can't go today without touching on the trade anniversary. I thought about it this morning, Lynch.
What are you talking about? Gretzky?
August 9th, 1988 was the day I stopped being an Oiler fan. And I very trepidatiously, if that's a word, have been tiptoeing back into the waters of being an Oiler fan. Let me tell you, it hasn't been pleasant the last 2 years. But it's a where were you moment. 31 years ago today, John, Wayne Gretzky was traded. That changed sports forever.
Yeah.
Because now, with the topic of football, hockey, baseball, well, you name it, people say he's untouchable. Nobody's untouchable. Gretzky got traded. You hear it in all sports. Anybody can be moved out because Gretzky got traded.
That's right.
I remember where I was.
But that was not fair to the fans. That was
of course not.
Just strictly for the owner to get some money. I mean, that really made me mad. But hey, if he doesn't
where were you?
Huh?
Where were you?
I was right here.
And in this studio?
No, I was at another radio station. But we couldn't believe it happened. Ron Barnett and I couldn't believe it. You just don't do things like that. And that's what we're saying here now, that what Holland's going to do is he's going to phone up his buddy, Steve Yzerman, in Detroit, and this time next year, and say, Stevie, listen, I want your first line and your first round draft choice for next year for Connor McDavid.
Well, it's funny because producer Clark has put on my monitor here. He said, just wait until the Oilers trade McDavid.
Yeah.
Listen, I understand how big Connor McDavid was. McDavid will not rival the Gretzky trade. Am I right?
No.
The Gretzky trade was way, way, way bigger.
First time it ever happened.
These millennials back here on the other side
and
of the wall.
What's happened?
It's not even
them.
Close. Looks they just won their fourth Stanley Cup with Wayne. He just got married to Janet Jones. McDavid's not even married yet. It was earth-shattering. A 30 for 30 documentary. No, I get it. I get it, Clark. Because you guys, young minds, can't comprehend how big it was. And I know McDavid's the biggest player in the NHL, but it's different stories. Wayne didn't want to leave. The only reason they'll trade McDavid's because he wants out.
Why did they trade Gretzky?
Because of his wife.
Oh,
is your memory that short?
Come on.
Yes.
Yeah, Janet Jones.
She's the Yoko Ono of the NHL. And, well, and as Brian's saying on the sponsor's couch over there, that they couldn't, well, Peter Pocklington needed the money. Peter Puck needed the money. He was going broke.
He's lucky he's alive.
He is lucky that he's alive. Is he still in a prison somewhere?
I saw the president's press conference, and I saw Gretzky crying, and I was crying too. So they if they do it again with McDavid, well, it'll really hurt that franchise because it hasn't been very good since then, buddy.
Oh, I know. Well, they did win a Stanley Cup in 1990 with Gretzky gone.
Yep.
But anyways, I was working with my mom. I was 15 years old. I was working in the Milestone High School on this August the 9th, helping her getting ready because she was the school administrator. When the news came over, I was carrying a bunch of textbooks. Dale Corey read the news over CKRM radio, and I dropped the books on the... What? And immediately started... I didn't believe it. I did not believe it. So, yeah, they probably will trade Connor McDavid, but it won't be as big as the Gretzky deal 31 years ago today. And like I said, I've tried to go back and be an Oiler fan, and I pretty much am, but it hasn't been great times. We welcome in a guest into the bunker after this timeout. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Hour 2 on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Employer pricing is back. You pay what we pay.
Eligible Costco members receive preferred pricing on select vehicles and a $500 Costco cash card. Get Costco pricing on this new 2019 GMC Sierra 4x4. It's just $39,645 plus tax or just $256 bi-weekly. Or get Costco pricing on this new 2019 Buick Encore. It's only $27,098 plus tax. That's just $93 a week.
You pay what we pay!
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody. On a Friday morning, we are having tons of fun. If you can tell, if you just joined us, where you've been. Justin Dunk was with us in Hour 1, as well as Bombers alum Addison Richards. A sports update here on a Friday morning. The quarterfinals are underway at the Rogers Cup Men's Tournament in Montreal. All 8 remaining players are from Europe. The favorite is number one seed Rafael Nadal of Spain. Nadal, he's the defending champion after winning last year in Toronto. Darren DuPont is still there, but you wouldn't know it because we haven't heard from him all week. It would have been nice to have a video segment with it. Come on, Dupes. He is on vacation, though, so we'll let him enjoy it. The Nationals and Mets begin a three-game series tonight with surprising significance. Both teams have more than 10 games below 500 this season. Washington now leads the NL wildcard race, and New York is only 2.5 games behind. Of course, all eyes are on Rogers Center, where the Blue Jays are home to the New York Yankees tonight. Bo Bichette last night doubling for the ninth consecutive game in his Major League debut. That's an MLB record. He's now chasing records set by Ted Williams back in 1939. It's an unbelievable story, one Bo Bichette. Week 9 in the CFL opened last night with a thriller in Winnipeg. The Blue Bombers knocking off the Calgary Stampeders 26-24. Janarian Grant setting a Bomber record with two punt return touchdowns in the same game. I believe it's only the eighth time that's ever happened in CFL history. Bombers, the CFL's top team at 6-2, and they booed their team in the fourth quarter, and they want the quarterback cut. That's what I'm getting out of Winnipeg this morning. I don't understand it. We've been kicking that around. Friday night football tonight, Saskatchewan at Montreal at 5, followed by Ottawa at Edmonton at 8 Mountain. Both games on TSN, of course. WNBL playoffs opened last night. Regina spanking Moose Jaw 10-2 in game one of the best of three. Game two goes tonight at Ross Wells Park in Moose Jaw. And we'll be in Saskatoon in spirit tonight. Unfortunately, we cannot be there with you thousands of Rattlers fans. The Saskatchewan Rattlers, home to the Edmonton Stingers, and CEBL play 7 p.m. at SaskTel Center. John Frenzy with me in the bunker. We're pleased to welcome from the Myers curling team, Kirk Myers, a good friend of ours. I would like to say longtime friend. It's only been a couple of years, but it's been a good friendship, Kirk.
That it has. It's been a good ride, Rod. So I'm glad to be here. I finally made it into the bunker.
You're
Life's
the
good.
Third curler to join us here. Did you hear the prior two?
I must say I did. Ben, you can never miss Ben.
Nope.
That is just a treat.
You hear him before you see him.
That's a fact. And I got to watch Braden. Braden and I have known each other, so I think we probably played each other first when we were, 13 years old. And we've played together. We've been rivals, and it's been a fun ride against Braden for the last 15 and 20 years.
Ben Hebert and Braden Muscoe in the bunker. Now Kirk Myers with us. So we'll have a little curling chat here and whatever else comes up. But listen, we are doing football on what we're kind of loosely calling Football Fridays. Biggest story of the week, Kirk. Our viewers and listeners are voting that the Dressler retirement is the biggest story of the week in our daily poll for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. I don't know if that was a where were you moment like the Gretzky trade, but your thoughts on Weston Dressler hanging it up?
I'll tell you what. So I must say over the last few years, I've gone away from the Riders a little bit.
Really?
Nothing to do with the Riders. Just it seems life gets busy. I don't seem to have enough time to watch games, that sort of thing. But I remember growing up, I'd be rolling on the floor. I'd be freaking out every Rider game. Like I lived for that.
Basket case.
It was basket kicks. And I mean, obviously I remember the 13th man. I was out the night before. I couldn't get out the next day. I was watching on TV. I was the highest of highs, the lowest of lows. So those years I remember like crazy. And I remember Weston Dressler, number 7. He was just one of my favorite players. The Andy Fantuz, Weston Dressler era, that was my time. And I wanted to be a receiver so bad growing up, and that was all. I grew up in a town with 60 people. The high school
What town is that?
St. Gregor, Saskatchewan.
Okay.
Never heard of it. Another one.
Another small town guy.
Leave
yeah.
it, eh? Munster, Saskatchewan, we went to school in. But even Munster was too small for a football team, so we played soccer. But all I wanted to do growing up was play football. And all I wanted to do was be like Weston Dressler and Andy Fantuz. So I'll tell you what. For sure, the biggest news of the week for me is Weston Dressler. He seemed like an absolute stand-up guy. You'd never heard anything bad about him. He worked hard every day. You could just tell he put in the time. And quite frankly, that's how I like to build my curling career. I put in the time every day, work hard every day, be precise every day, kind of like Weston Dressler. So, I mean, he was just an absolute hero of mine.
Lynch, before you jump in, this rolling around on the floor and crying, watching Rider games, Lynch still does that.
Trust me, so does my old man.
I knew just about that's a problem. He's not being funny. Yeah, so you said, but a highlight is that you just moved to Regina this week.
I did, yeah. So I'm going to split my time between Saskatoon and Regina, and I'm still going to spend lots of time in Saskatoon with my business and my curling team. That's where my curling team is, but I'm going to spend a little time in beautiful Regina as well.
Now, when do you get really involved in the curling for next year, for the year?
Well, I'll tell you what, it starts up right now. Basically, we were in Japan last week, and then we got a couple weeks of training in North Battleford here, and then we're going to go, beginning of September, we're full into it until we get to about next May. So it's bang for about 8 or 9 months. So through that time, I'll spend a lot of time at Saskatoon training with the guys.
I'm very upset from growing up as a kid. I saw Richardson's and know them both personally.
Yeah.
It was great. They're fantastic. Curling was fantastic here. The last 10 years, been very poorly, the effort put out by the Saskatchewan people. I'm glad to see you grabbing the bull by the horns. You guys did real well last year. Fantastic, I think, really. Congratulate you on that. I'm glad to see you're putting this effort into it. And you're going to have the same rink, eh?
Yeah, same rink. I know Braden talked about this on the show, too. But, I mean, it's important that, the Dunstone team and our team and the Hartung team, a few other young teams are really going to go hard at this game in Saskatchewan for the next, 5 to 10 years. It's the only way you can win the Brier. And that's what I know about 3 or 4 teams in the province are wanting to do, is win the Brier for Saskatchewan. And we're still all a young group yet, so we're going to get better together. But you need that competition within the province to get good enough. And that's really what we're working on now. So as much as you hate playing a really good team like the Hartungs or like Muskawi and Dunstone, those guys are only going to make you better. And we saw that last year at Provincials. It was a doozy, that's for sure. And that's how we're going to become, to get to the top of that curling world again, like Saskatchewan people want.
What did you think when you heard that Braden was putting together this super team down here in Regina? I guess it was a year ago at this time that he was putting everybody together.
Yeah, we were talking back and forth a little bit throughout that time with basically all 8 players now that are on my rink and Dunstone's rink. So we knew kind of what was gonna happen. And as soon as it happened, Braden and I, we talked to each other. We said, this is the best thing for our teams, and this is the best thing for Saskatchewan curling, that we're going to push each other. It's about winning the Brier. It's about maybe getting a chance to win Grand Slams, get to the Olympics. And the only way you can do that is if you have competition pushing you, it seems. You look at Furby and Martin over the years in Alberta. You look at Stoughton and Burtnick over the years in Manitoba. That's what made those provinces great. And hopefully we can slowly breed into that, into our province as well over the next, 5 years or so.
Is it tough to combine curling and your normal job as well?
Oh, it is. It is. We've had great support with our sponsors over the years that gives us the funds to go travel. But I mean, our season costs us about $100,000 a year to go do what we need to do. So, we need that. Plus we need to feed ourselves every day and pay our mortgage every month too. So we got to make sure that gets done too. So it is a tough balance, but that being said, the opportunities we've got, I mean, I've got to play in the Brier 5 times. I've got to travel to China, Japan, Europe, the States, everything like that. I've got to see every corner of Canada. So it's a big grind. It's a lot of work, but quite frankly, I wouldn't trade for anything. We're lucky to be able to do what we do.
By the way, we got a lot of questions coming in on last night's events in the CFL and the news of potentially Cody Fajardo going to the XFL. We'll get to those in a moment. Maybe Kirk can chime in with his thoughts on those too, because you are the sports fan that you are. But can you talk a little bit about your team members, if you don't mind? I mean, we're very highly viewed on the prairies where curling is king, but the Myers name, although your dad of course is a curling legend, your team itself is somewhat new the last couple of years, right on the scene.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us about your team.
Yeah, absolutely. So my brother plays lead. He's my older brother, Dallin, and I skipped the team. And Dallin, my brother's been to the Brier 6 times with Pat Simmons, Steve Laycock. I've been to the Brier now 5 times, and once skipping my team, the other 4 was with Steve Laycock. And then we got 2 twins in the middle, Daniel and Kevin Marsh, and they've been around since we were about 15 too, and we've played them and been very good friends with them for years. And they've always been I always said they were some of the best curlers in the province at our age group that have never been to a Brier yet. They've been always, every year we have to play them in the semifinal or the final or the playoffs to get to the Brier, and they never quite could sneak through. And I always said that they were, once they believed they were good enough, man, they were going to be a powerhouse, because they were so good. They're such good athletes. Anytime they pick up any kind of sport, they're just so good at it. And then they start working hard at curling, and they finally get that belief that they are good enough. Boy, they're really a powerful duo. But no one can tell them apart. They look exactly the same. Unless you know their personality, you have no idea who they are. And I remember last week in Japan, the media was like, so which one's which, and how can you tell them apart? I said, well, you can't. There's no way. I said, one of them parts their hair this way. The other one parts it the other way. That's the only chance you got. But other than that, you're not going to find two nicer guys in curling. I think every curling, anybody that knows curling will tell you that Dan and Kevin Marsh are two of the nicest guys in curling. And I'm just lucky to be able to play with them.
You must feel very blessed too, by the way. You mentioned Five Briars. When Ben Hebert was here and he brought the Tanker Trophy and sat it on the coffee table there, he said when he's at the Briar, particularly when it was here, he's wearing the blue and yellow for Alberta, and he hears the roars for the Saskatchewan team. The guy's wearing green and gold, and it ticks him off. And he's like, oh, I want to play for Saskatchewan so bad. Oh. And which is a bit of a thinly veiled threat there. I think Benny's coming back at some point, but
he's getting old though. I might have to throw Benny. It's at some point you're going to be over the hill.
He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to.
I know. But no, it is. I remember somebody asked me last year when we said, "What's the best thing about going back to the Briar?" And it's putting on the green. The Ryder green, the Saskatchewan green, there's nothing better. The curling fans in Saskatchewan are nothing better. Every time we play an event in Saskatchewan, doesn't matter where, Briar, Grand Slams, any event, it's packed with Saskatchewan fans cheering for you, just hanging on your every move. Got to play the Briar here last year, one of the most amazing experiences of my life. Same thing, everyone was hanging on your every move. You make a shot, the crowd goes wild. You miss a shot, you can just feel 6,000 people sinking with you. It is so cool to be able to play in Saskatchewan and be one of the top teams in Saskatchewan. I think most curlers would agree with me. You couldn't trade being a Saskatchewan team for anything in the curling world, and I'm just so lucky to do it.
You mentioned being in Japan. Can you please fill in a neophyte like me as to why you would be there in the summer for a curling event?
You know, I said, think about this, about 10, 15 years ago when with curling, you'd be lucky to get to Portage La Prairie in a year. Now we're going to China, we're playing in Japan, we're playing in Sweden. The game has totally globalized in the last 10 years. And the World Curling Tour started in beginning of August in Japan. There was about three or four events in Japan. And they had reached out to us a couple of months ago and asked if we wanted to go and play in an event. And we thought, what the hell? I mean, it's the middle of summer. What better opportunity is to go see Japan and play in an event early in the season? So we jumped at the opportunity. And if you've never been to Japan, I mean, it is gorgeous. It's
what about
a beautiful
stamina
place.
Now? You're getting a lot more than normally. You used to have now the curling schedule really, really busy for you guys. Aren't you dead beat by the end of the year?
Yeah. By May, my last game was on May 13th in Beijing, China this year. Mm-hmm. My first game of the next season was August 1st. It's turning into the golf schedule almost. But I am dead tired at the end of the year. At the end of the year, you don't want to think about curling. But after about a month or so, you're ready to get back into it. You're ready to go again, just like anything else. But you
like
need a month off.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you say that. You speak about globalization. I'm going to talk about CFL 2.0 in a moment with that. But we should mention your sponsors. Because Benny, the reason he came on here, not just to talk about himself, but also to promote the game, was he says, hey, we need retweets, we need likes, we need social media impressions to send to Curling Canada. So obviously you can do the same thing. Who are the sponsors that we can stoke for you over there?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Roddy. And that's just it. These guys allow us to travel and allow us to do this and allow us to become the team, hopefully, in the next few years to win that Briar. And I'm wearing them on my shirt today. We'll start with our new one here, AGI Insurance in Saskatoon, Crescent Point Energy, North Star Industries, Atlas Apex Roofing here in Regina, Core Grain, who does grain storage throughout Western Canada, Sask Canola, Caledon Equipment Leasing, Mickles Industries, IcePad is another one, and who is a curling equipment manufacturer, the best broom in the game, and Dynasty Curling, who does all our uniforms. So that's our sponsor crew that allows us to travel, and we look to give back in any way we can. So it's pretty neat, and appreciate you letting me do
that. Well, I'm pretty stoked about I'm not stoked about winter, because I hate winter.
Don't we all?
Don't we all? But the curling coverage we're going to provide here, I'm kind of getting into it, and all you new young teams, making curling cool again, making curling great again. Some will say that it's always been great, but there seems to be a renaissance in the game right now. Now, Lynch, we talk about globalization, and Kirk, you're welcome to jump in anytime on this. CFL officials and German football officials met this week in Toronto to talk about solidifying or expanding their partnership. I don't know if you saw that article or not.
No, but I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. And it said, as a matter of fact, in the article that I read, it said there are two German players in the CFL right now, including Max Zimmermann with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And I'm like, he never plays. How can you say he's on the Riders? But you do have to start somewhere. I guess when they started curling in Sweden and China, maybe they weren't that great either. I don't know. But I get what they're trying to do. But I hate, John, what they are doing in exploiting players that are not good enough to actually play in the CFL.
Yeah, you're right there. It's tough. It's tough for them. I think what you're going to see, and I made this another prediction in the offseason, is that Ambrosi will arrange for a game in England between Riders and Calgary, two teams, at the big stadium, the cricket stadium. It'll be a Canadian team playing football over in Europe because they look at the success of the American teams, eh? So why shouldn't the Canadians get a piece of the action?
Well, is this a BLP, a bold Lynch prediction?
Yes, it is.
Or do you know some inside information?
No, I don't. This is a BLP all the way.
Bold Lynch prediction. Yeah. Well, that would be cool if there was a CFL game played in England. But, Kirk, I'm sure you've heard of the experiment of the CFL expanding. Clearly, it's a good idea. I'm not really excited about the way they've gone about it, but it can't hurt, right? I guess you got to start somewhere.
Well, yeah, that's just it. I mean, just like you said, in curling 20 years ago, I mean, every time you got to play a European or a world team, you were laughing. I mean, they were, like I said, not on the roster. They weren't close. But you got to start building it some way. And I worry about some of those things, like you said, maybe playing it in a cricket stadium. What's going to happen when you go there and there's crickets in the stadium when they're, you know, they put this on and then there's, you know, there's 500 people there watching this. I mean, that doesn't put on a good showcase for the game. And curling's running into that a little bit too, is how do you fill the stadiums? And you need all these people to get excited about it. And it's tough to do when people don't know the sport or don't care about it. And I worry about that when they try to build this game in other parts of the world as well, football and any game. How do you get that excitement for the game when they have two Germans that are playing, but they don't play? No one knows who they are. No one sees them play. No one even they have any impact on the game. And that's a tough thing to kind of get over that hurdle.
Well, and I will give Randy Ambrosi kudos for the guts to do it and to stick to it. And I'm sure it will work. I just, again, don't like these players being exploited the way that they are. But maybe the players don't have a problem with it. I couldn't do it, but maybe they don't have a problem with it.
Well, sure they have.
Hey, lastly, we got to break, John, but just, Kirk, the little-known factoid about you, your better half is CTV TSN's Claire Hanna, sideline reporter of considerable repute. Seems like she's really enjoying it. Her interview with Dana White might have been the biggest of her career. And she's taller than him, by the way. She's taller probably than you.
She's damn near taller than me.
Right. Yeah. But you're going to spike. She's going to spike balls at you, or you're spiking them at her?
She needs help practice. She's playing a beach volleyball tournament tomorrow, so she needs help practicing. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to throw balls at her while she smashes them back.
Where's
like,
the tournament?
You guys would know it. Jeez, it's a the Drummond Group is putting it on.
Oh,
okay.
Oh,
anyways, it doesn't.
Gary Drummond?
Yeah. Well, I know who he is. I don't know where they. Is this a charity game or something?
It's a charity event. And so, anyways, she's getting ready for that. I'm doing that. Like you said, much better half. She loves it in Regina. She loves everybody in Regina. She loves the sporting community. She's here for the long haul, and
she done real well.
She loves it. She loves it in Regina, and I'm just lucky to be on the ride with her.
Did you see her appearance on this show?
I did. Yes.
She just crushed it.
She
absolutely
does.
Crushed. She always does.
She always does. She's got a knack for engaging people, and she's got a knack for. She's very smart, and she's got a knack for engaging people. She's a great reporter.
Kirk Myers from Myers Curling joining us here in the bunker. When we come back, we'll be talking NFL in Winnipeg. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Friday morning on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait. Do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Friday morning on the Rod Peterson Show, time for a sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. A familiar face is back at Rogers Centre tonight. Former Blue Jay Jay Happ starts for the Yankees as New York faces Toronto. The Yanks won last night 12-6, but Bo Bichette's the story of the game. He doubled for a ninth consecutive game, a major league record, the son of major league great Dante Bichette. Sean Reed Foley going to the mound tonight for the Blue Jays. One afternoon game in Major League Baseball today. The White Sox entertain the Oakland A's in American League action. The A's are a half game out of a wild card playoff spot. Chicago well outside playoff contention. The Montreal Alouettes look to get back on track tonight. The Owls play host to the Rough Riders in an intra-conference CFL game. Montreal lost to Ottawa in overtime last week, snapping a three-game slide. Antonio Pipkin starts at quarterback for the Owls after Vernon Adams was injured last week and apparently still suffering concussion-type symptoms. Trevor Harris getting ready to face his old team tonight. The Edmonton Eskimos quarterback leads his team against the visiting Ottawa Redblacks in CFL play. Harris signed with the Eskimos this offseason after helping the Red Blacks advance to the Grey Cup game last season. Basketball tonight, SaskTel Center. Saskatchewan Rattlers are home looking for their fifth consecutive victory in the CEBL. They're home to the Edmonton Stingers. And it is game two of the first round WNBL series between the Regina Red Sox Moose Jaw Miller Express in Moose Jaw tonight. Game one here at Curry Field last night saw Regina won 10-2. Again, morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. We welcome your comments and questions. Prairie Mobile text line 840-8777 for you outside this beautiful province. That's a 306 area code, 840-8777 for Prairie Mobile, your authorized SaskTel Mobility Network. And Facebook comments right up until the top of the hour. We're talking football, including a visit with On Ice Sports' John Graham, who'll be joining us from Winnipeg to preview the Packers and Raiders game. About the CFL's meetings with the German Football League this week, Nelson writes in. He says, I think the most interesting part of the CFL's expanded agreement with the GFL is that the CFL will help with marketing. The CFL can hardly market itself some days. And unfortunately, that is the case. John, you know, you've been around this league a little bit longer than me. Was talking with some of the guys on the couch here in the break about the Gretzky trade and how it relates to today's sports. Gretzky was making like $175,000 a year in 1988 with the Edmonton Oilers. Think about that for a second. Because Mike Modano was drafted number one overall by the Minnesota North Stars, and he held out for, and I remember it very well, because I was a PA Raiders fan, $200,000. And NHL guys were like, Gretzky doesn't even make $200,000. That doesn't seem like that long ago. Sure 31 doesn't. Years ago, yeah. Where the CFL wages and NHL wages were pretty much on par.
Yeah, they were.
And now...
Well, out of this world.
What changed other than TV money? And what got people watching the NFL and NHL? To me, it's marketing.
Marketing.
Because the games haven't changed. The talent level really hasn't changed. It's marketing.
Yeah. Sensational marketing by both organizations. NFL's number one right now. And the National Hockey League's getting better every year. Give Bettman credit. Everybody wants to hate Gary Bettman, but I think he's done a great job with that National Hockey League. And it's marketing. And that TV contract, of course, they got now is unbelievable in Canada. And they market. They advertise.
Yeah.
And they're on the air two or three times a week. So, I mean, they just market, 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 which goes to show you, if you throw something at people enough, they'll believe in it.
You couldn't be more right, Lynch. You're a smart guy. Did I ever tell you that?
No. Thank you very much for saying that.
Well,
tell my wife that, will you?
I just remember, and Randy Ambrosi has brought up the globalization of the CFL, and he's compared it to the National Hockey League. And in a lot of ways, he's right. But here's the difference. When the NHL opened its doors to European players, there was no drop-off in talent. Sergei Makarov came over here, won Rookie of the Year, and scored 42 goals in his rookie season. It's not the same here. And the problem that I have, which I won't win, by the way, because CFL 2.0 is not going the other direction, but these guys aren't good enough to be on the field. And to me, it's in a way fraudulent. Not legally fraudulent, but just morally fraudulent. That you would cram players down our throat that aren't good enough to be in the league. And there are Canadian kids that are better. Better by virtue of the fact they posted better combine times. And they're not on CFL rosters for European players that are, all because of a political movement. That's the problem that I have with CFL 2.0. Again, it's not changing, but I don't like it. But do you envision a day where the CFL's like curling and it's the world's game? Because that's the goal. Do you think that will happen?
Not for a few years. Yeah, Ambrose is trying to do it. No question about that. I don't know why he's doing it, because I think our league's going right now well. And I think the first thing he's got to do is solidify us at home. We've got problems with Toronto and Vancouver and Montreal. Realistic problems. I don't know whether he believes that or not. I think he thinks they've been here for years. Nothing will happen. People will bail them out. And it's not the case. There's some very serious financial problems, particularly in Montreal. So he's... He seemed to be off in a wonderland, you know, not hitting what the problems are at home.
I agree.
And I've seen Max Zimmerman out there. I guess he's still with the Riders, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's okay for him to be here. He'll be on the practice roster. Won't likely see much action. But I think this is the start to bringing those guys on the team. No question.
Well,
and then what I just told you earlier, I believe they'll have a game, an exhibition, or not an exhibition game, which I don't know if I like that or not. It'd be a league game with two Canadian teams in London playing at that 85,000 seat cricket stadium.
What's the difference whether it's regular season or preseason? Who cares? They're not going to know the difference over there.
No,
but might as well be the preseason.
But
Trevor writes in and he says, so how else do you market globally? You can look, I agree. I don't agree. I see what they're doing. You can still air the games over there on television in Europe. But you don't have to have European players on your rosters. That's the difference to me. Now, I was on a cruise off the coast of South Beach in Florida on New Year's Eve. And I was sitting with a family of German people. They all knew about the National Football League. And do you know why? Because the games are on television in Germany. That's why. So you can still put CFL games on over there. But we don't need to have their players. Stampede Wrestling was aired in 52 countries. Not live. Taped. Now, I don't think that led to the Cuban Assassin and the Dynamite Kid and some of these guys. I'm just saying you can still air the games over there. You don't have to have their players over here when they're not good enough to play. And by the way, we're going to go to Winnipeg. I was watching, as do you, NFL Network all the time. Did you see John Gruden, the coach of the Oakland Raiders, Lynch, talking about going to Winnipeg?
No, I didn't see it.
I did see it. The Raiders were on the road for six consecutive weeks, and Gruden said, well, we're going to Winnipeg, and we're going here, we're going there. And I thought, boy, it would be nice if he was saying Regina. But he's not. They're going to Winnipeg, Manitoba, August 22nd to take on the Green Bay Packers. Let's go to Winnipeg now. John Graham joins us from On Ice Management, the guy that's behind, it's his company putting on the game. Good morning, John. How are things in Winnipeg? They look sunny.
They are sunny. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, we're good, John. We're good. What's life like there in Winnipeg as they get ready for the Raiders and Packers in this historic game?
It's hectic. I think the biggest shock, I mean, I've been doing games and everything else for years, but I think the biggest shock is the amount of effort and work behind the scenes, not just the teams, but the NFL. I mean, to give you some insight, the Raiders themselves are coming in on an Airbus, so it's all loaded with cargo, and then they're sending two tractor trailers full of gear. So it's mind-boggling when you look at the networks and everything else that's coming in.
Well, you've done and are doing NHL games, soccer games, but I think this is your first foray into the NFL. I read that story at CJME the other day about all the logistics here. Is it more than you'd expected?
Yeah, I mean, by far. This is the first NFL game, and we're pretty lucky to be sort of an independent promoter in amidst all their sort of connections, and it really is. It's equal to doing a Stones or a U2 concert.
Do you have information on where the ticket buyers are coming from for the game in Winnipeg? Are there a lot coming from across the prairies, coming from across the country? Are there people coming out from Oakland or Green Bay? Do you have that data?
We have some data. Most of the data we have relates to, the Canadian, other than the fans that are coming in to be in the special areas or the fan fanatic areas like the Black Hole. We have, you know, those fanatics that are coming in from Oakland or the Cheesehead groups that are coming in from the U.S. But most of the ticket attendance at this point is between Manitoba and Saskatchewan.
What the network is carrying this, John? It's John Lynch here. What network is carrying?
Hey, John. It's on TSN, RDS in Canada, and then it's on Fox in the U.S. Through, the Raiders broadcasts and through Green Bay's broadcast. It's still not sure whether it's on the NFL network, and I know that we've now had a request for Spanish broadcast.
Okay, now let's talk about the big thing. What's the attendance been like? What's the excitement level at, and where do you stand right now?
The ticket sales came out really strong, and they slowed up as they do in most events. To give you a parallel draw, when we did the Leafs in Saskatoon a couple of years ago, you know, the box office probably went 60% sold. Here, we're probably 50% sold. There's some promotions that are going on, and then next week sort of the real push starts. I know today there's Raiders doing interviews today, and then it goes through next week, and then Fernandez is in town, and then Gruden and Mayock are doing interviews. So the real push is now through to the event.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say I've worked with you on these NHL games in Regina, but I've interviewed you, and you know people buy tickets based on who's playing, John. So do you have any assurances on that yet from the teams?
You know from the past, I hate stating something that we're not 100% sure of. Aaron Rodgers has tweeted out and is quoted as playing. Mr. Murphy, who's the president of the Packers, is saying he's playing. Now, far more about football than I don't do. I don't know whether, you know, that means he's playing a half, a full game, whatever. What I understand in week three is most of the stars at least play part of the game. I know that Coach Gruden is planning to use his stars. I know that the artwork that was given to us by the Raiders has Carr and Rodgers, and I know that the understanding is that any of the stars that are healthy are dressing and playing.
Yeah, and I believe Antonio Brown is on the artwork, too, for the Oakland Raiders, their prize free agent signing. Is there anything that you'd like people to know, John, before we let you go? You know, we got a lot of viewers in Saskatchewan and Manitoba. Maybe they're on the fence. What should they know about this game at IG Field?
Well, I think it, I mean, it is a one-of event. It's you know, the top brands that are coming, it's more than just the game, I can tell you. You know, I mean, we've brought up the Al Davis tribute torch. It's being set up. There's a number of activities being arranged around the event. You know, we're proud to do this, and we love the support that we've always had in Saskatchewan, and Manitoba's new to us, and it's you know, a developing market, and I think you're going to see a great push out of the National Football League. We thank you for giving us the coverage, and we'd like to give you 4 tickets to the game that you can put out to your listeners and have some kind of draw or contest.
Oh, we will absolutely do that. Our business manager's head just perked up when you said that, Tyler, here. So, John, we are out of time, but keep in touch. Anything you need from us, you've got, and good luck with the game.
Thank you very much for the time, guys. Good luck back at you.
All right, John Graham from On Ice Management joining us from on the road, it looks like, in Winnipeg Frenzy. So next week, how's that? We got 4 tickets for the Packers and the Raiders.
How about that, eh? You notice a bit of stick handling there when I ask him what the crowd's going to be and attendance?
Well, it's expensive, and I don't know enough about business to know why they were priced at what it was. You think it's a cheap venture to bring the Oakland Raiders and the Green Bay Packers into another country to play?
No. Nope.
I don't think so. So he's trying something here. I hope that it works, and I hope down the line, if it's true that the people that put up the resistance in Regina, because of scheduling, are willing to accommodate next year, they would be, hello, I'm over here. Hopefully next year that they do have a game in Regina and we can get behind that even more. I don't have time. We got to roll. So I guess we are late for a break here. We're going to have to put it in at the end, Frenzy, because I got to roll. Appreciate your time here today, my friend. And we'll
do it
next week.
Always fun.
All right. Thank you. There would be no us without you. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. And we'll see you Monday here on the Rod Peterson Show. My pen's gone. So I'll just say so long and have a great weekend on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.